Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. My name is Alex Cujito, formerly of Alex Cujito, but now of Recon Reactions. A long time ago, I interviewed a great man, a great channel that was on the rise just like me, and he blew up like a rocket in space. This time on my second channel, make sure to hit that like, we're going to enjoy and have a revision of a great interview. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the today on the first ever episode of Cujito Underground, BX Sports Jedi Network, Kevin Cruz.
What's up? How you doing, everyone? Hello, everyone. My name is Kev, Sports Jedi from BX Sports Jedi Network. Gracias, Alex, for having me on, man. Let's go. Let's blow this. You know what? I'm as fortunate to have good people supporting the channel like yourself, and we're going to put you on my back, and let's go. Let's strap it up. You don't need it, but your content is great, and we're just going to continue to ride it along, and let's go together. Let's send. Vamos para excelencia, para arriba, papa.
Exactly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to give it a sense of who this person is, BX, can you give a little bit about yourself and what you do and how great you do it, sir?
Absolutely. No problem, man. What's going on? First and foremost, let's salute the chat. Let's acknowledge the chat. Mr. Hector Project Nerd in the building. Krista Flash. Saludo. Salute. Hey, I'd like to, I'm just a kid from the Bronx, New Yorkerican that just loves sports. And one day during the pandemic, I just turned on YouTube, seeing people talking about sports. And I'm like, you know what? I've got an opinion just like everyone else. And, I just started, going different programs and was lucky to be given the opportunity to co-host the show, talk about the passion of basketball. And then, I love baseball, being a Yankee fan. And I just started doing my own channel because at the end of the day, Alex, when I was watching sports, my wife likes sports, bless her. So she likes to watch sports with me, but not fully attention as a male, and I would talk to the dog. The dog will look at itself, lick its behind, and I can't have an intelligent conversation back. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start a watch along channel. And I started doing all the sports, different baseball. And I had guys helping me like we see Hector, Chris, and many others, like yourself, like you co-hosted with me when we did WrestleMania, night two, you were going along. And you know what? We're going to watch these sports anyway. And one thing I love about doing the watch alongs is that you get to speak to everyone across the world. Tú estás loquillo. I'm in Orlando, Florida, out of Bronx, New York. You got good friends in Washington Heights. You got friends in Louisiana, all over the place. And we get together in this platform that is YouTube or anywhere you get, or Twitch, anywhere that we hear our voices. And we talk about sports, and not just sports, music, wrestling, you name it. You like yourself, I love your videos with the tourists versus in Puerto Rico. That's one of the great things that I loved about your channel. And it brings me closer, even though I don't go to Puerto Rico, but your insights and it brings that warmth right to me. And it was just like a match, great friendship where we got 2 years knowing each other. And it's been great. We don't be constantly with each other communicating, but we support each other no matter what we do in the background. And that's a great, great thing about this YouTube platform.
And I love about that because, again, we started off almost about the same exact time. And you caught the wave of the pandemic because, again, people were in their houses watching YouTube, just trying to watch a thing or trying to act like someone was around them in the moment. And I remember exactly when, and this has helped me, ladies and gentlemen, he helped me get to my 1,000 by promoting my channel out there. He has always helped me over the years, ladies and gentlemen. We have never met in person. We have never met by the terms of human to human. But by the terms of life, we have helped each other. And when I made my second channel, the first thing I told myself is let me talk to Kevin and tell him the bad news, first off. But second, tell him that I'm still going. I'm still going to keep going. People are going to knock me down, but the point of getting knocked down is getting backed up and just doing it over and over again until you just can't do it anymore. And I'm just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. That's the fun thing about life. 41, don't look 41. I'm a sexy 35 by standards, but fact of it, I'm going strong. But thank you for giving me the chance to get to know you. And again, 2 weeks from now, Project Nerd HQ as well. We're gonna have a nice little
thing.
And if Mr. Krista Flash does also want to talk about his thing, we're going too many comments all the time. I love that. But now let's go to hey, sexy man. Hey, Alex in chat. Yes, keep on going. Love you, Onyx Blade. Check out his channel, Onyx Blade. He's already at 1,000. He also started at the same time as us, Kevin. Same exact time. He just got 1,000 a couple months ago, and I wanted to get to 2,000. Very cool stuff.
And beyond. And beyond. Don't limit yourself.
Exactly. Now, our first topic we're going to talk about today is something that we both grew up on, and it's wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. And can you please tell me your, if you can remember, your first ever memory of wrestling and where it took you from there?
Oh, my God. You could say I am a third generation wrestling fan. Mi abuelo, yes. God bless his soul, may he rest in peace, got me into wrestling right before my recollection of wrestling was WrestleMania 1 from the very beginning. And before that, he would talk to me about all the greats, Antonino Roca, you know, yeah. Carlito Colon, Chiqui Star, you know, and all the greats from Puerto Rico wrestling, you know. Of course, everyone talks about, right away, when you talk about old-time wrestling, everyone goes to Bruno Sammartino. But he would talk to me about Harley Race. He would, you know, he would Dory Funk. You know, he would talk to me and get me into that. And then WrestleMania, it was just, the one thing I love about wrestling is, to me, every time I watch wrestling now, even at, I'm going to be, you know, by the way, I'm 30 days away from turning 47, which, you know, thank God that the Lord has let me blessed to see me that.
And by the way, 47 Puerto Rican is like, I don't know, like 29, 33.
See, yeah.
Yeah, around that.
See. So every time I watch wrestling, even to this day and age, to me, it's a connection back to my childhood and my grandfather. Yes. And that's why I'm so passionate and love wrestling, because he will get excited and you can tell him this was scripted. He will go nuts. He was one of those, you know, from Manatee. Born and raised in Manatee, Puerto Rico, and he loved wrestling, and his passion with wrestling just comes on to me, and I'm able to give that to my sons. You know, my sons are 27, 26 years old, and they like wrestling. Yeah. You know, so I always had the privilege to take them to the rest of WrestleMania, Madison Square Garden, the same thing like my grandfather, and that's that connection there that I have with wrestling, and I love wrestling until this day. It can't get old, no matter how drawn line or scripted or with all that. It's still, to me, it's just a staple when it comes wrestling, boxing, you know, and sports. That's what it is all about. And to me, I can't wait when I become a grandfather to have my grandchildren and take them to the wrestling events. You know, I go to NXT each and every Tuesday, you know, live there. And every time I'm there, every time I get excited, I always think of my grandfather, what he would do. And he would go nuts and he would go bananas. And man, that's a high that you have to live an individual to understand that.
Of course. And I love that. We were talking about that, the NXT thing, because you do go there every week and you have live on the spot news and everything else because you're there at the moment. But we'll get to that in a second. The news that happened, the wrestling that I grew up in, ladies and gentlemen, is about the same as him. I didn't grow up with a grandfather and a father to teach me, but I grew up being a 16-year-old kid and seeing Eddie Guerrero and Diamond Dallas Page do an astounding move. And from there, I'm like, I'm going to watch WCW. From WCW, I watched ECW. ECW, I skipped the Ruthless Aggression. Kind of lost my way. And then around 2013, saw Daniel Bryan, a guy who was like under 6 feet, looked like a hairy goat, beat the corporation. And just that got me back into wrestling. And then the domino effect after that, NXT Gold. And then SmackDown was really good after that. AEW was formed around 17, 18, yada, yada after that. But I want to talk more about the NXT adventure that you had. I call it the NXT adventure because, again, if I had a chance to go to Full Sail and do that, it'll be really awesome. How is the environment before you get there and how is the environment after? Because I've seen you during, obviously, like the crowd itself. But before and after, how is it normally?
First and foremost, you have to go to Full Sail, drop your vehicle off, get on the register list. But there's a long line. But here's this. When you're on a long line, you guess what you do? You fraternize. You meet good people. You know, these folks come there. They come in week after week to Performance Center. You know, you see a lot of regulars. And you just start becoming conversation and have conversation. And you become bond of friendship over wrestling. It's phenomenal because you see them, you get to know them, you get to talk to them, you start to know what wrestlers they like, what wrestlers they don't like. And everyone, before you get to Performance Center, is so enthusiastic. It's like waiting for the Thanksgiving meat field to start. You're waiting for that ball to drop on New Year's, waiting, anticipating for the wrestling. And that's a fun event to go to and waiting, anticipating. Sometimes there's some little things that get out of hand with the line skipping, you know, like anything else. You know, we're all humans. But all in all, you could say 85% of that experience, even before you get to watch the wrestling, it's a fun atmosphere. It's really cool. Everyone's respectful to the most part. And you really have a great time there. I advise everyone, look, if you ever go to Orlando, if you ever come down to Orlando for like a week or whatever, and you want to save some money, NXT, you just got to sign up on the Facebook account. It's not going to cost you nothing, just your time to get to the arena. You know, the gas and the parking is free. You got to take a shuttle bus, but you take a break from the mouse and spending, giving him all your money, and go watch NXT. Good wrestling, man. At first I was a little when I first went, let me go see how cheesy this is in person. I went one time and I kept going over and over and over. It's fun. I advise that, man. We've been talking about that, like yourself, you know. And then one thing I love about this, again, back to the YouTube, back to the first thing we're talking about, you're in Puerto Rico. My partner, my channel, lives in Brooklyn, and he's a Michelin star chef, and he doesn't, due to time and stuff that we can't get together, we haven't met in person, and he's been with me day one. And Chris lives in Louisiana. We're dying to go have an event where we all could go together and meet, maybe at a WrestleMania or a Revolution or any of these, or Super Bowl, whatever the case is, and just meet. And you know, I say whichever one of our teams that we follow wins the championship, I think that parade is where we're going to meet everyone, because we're just dying to just meet each other and celebrate. And the same thing with wrestling. This is somewhere where we need to all get together and just enjoy the wrestling, man. And I advise anyone that wants to come to NXT, or if you're coming to Orlando, gotta check out NXT. It's really fun.
Now, three questions before we get to the next topic. Because again, we could talk about wrestling for an hour, but this is not a wrestling podcast. This is a general topic podcast. We'll put that out there right now. Now, what is your thoughts on, this is a two-part question of the first one. Mm-hmm. What is your thoughts on Trick Williams and the sudden rise pop of Booker T putting those ad libs in his song that just came out? That thing is viral as hell.
Yes.
Don't put that out there.
Look, Joe, as I had an opportunity to, not just at the Performance Center, was invited to something separate with Trick Williams and invited us to go to. He had a premiere. He has it. By the way, check out his YouTube program called Tricking Ain't Easy. Trick Williams has a comedy series, Tricking Ain't Easy. You're going to love it. It's funny. It's homemade. But it's funny as hell. All the actors, all the persons there, I know in them. They had a premiere party. I managed to meet them, go there, spend time away from wrestling. And that guy is a nice dude, bro. Talk about a dude outside the ring that is awesome and humble, phenomenal. To his rise, well-deserved. He earned it. The guy earned it, put in the work. I remember he was a little, when his wrestling skills, but he going to Booker T's Academy for the summer, he came back a different wrestler. Yeah. And his skill set and his work ethic is showing now. And the crowd appreciates that. He's also been great with the crowd. When they go to commercial breaks to tell you about go buy Pizza Hut and all the other stuff, all the ads, he's around there talking to people in the Performance Center, making friends, giving that fan base an experience, and giving the young folks or second generation people there a good experience about coming to NXT or even the house shows. That's what Trick Williams is so over right now. And Booker T, it just goes well with him when he, you know, and his comments on the whoop that Trick was phenomenal. And Wade Barrett don't fall behind. Wade Barrett is throwing a little remix as well so Trick Williams, you can see there's a lot of superstar in him. He checks the boxes, 6'5", you know, 245 pounds. He's chiseled. He's well fit. He's marketable. And it's just the young man did the right thing, and he's putting the work. And if he was just half-assing it, he wouldn't get to the stardom he's got.
Now, I talk about this because shout out to NXT Time with D-Walk on the Joe BNCO channel. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Free plug for you. Love you. I say this because it's all about wrestling is all about the moment, the move, the crowd. Those three things in general make the moment forever. Now, again, I've been watching, I don't watch NXT, ladies and gentlemen, or AEW, or I talk about it, but in clips, because again, I have a life and I have a girlfriend coming up. That's gonna be my wife soon. Life is hard. But the point I'm trying to bring is this: Trick Williams is hot in wrestling world right now. Talking Trick Williams is the shiznit. Now, question for you: do you think it's a good idea to let him simmer until WrestleMania, after WrestleMania? Because again, the day after WrestleMania, whoever calls gets called up is the guy. So you can imagine all those hardcore wrestling fans the day after WrestleMania, and then Trick Williams gets debuted, and the whole stadium says, whoop that Trick. Like, that alone would make him a legend, at least for that year, I'm thinking, in 2024. And you need legends in 2024 right now, honestly.
Well, right, but Alex, I want to give you something, a little insight there. Yeah. First, he won the North American title over Dominic Mysterio on No Mercy, and he was over. The next night, he was on Raw, and Raw itself was over. Whoop that Trick. The issue is, and this is a little bit of inside wrestling. I know this wasn't the wrestling podcast. I know that, but a little bit of insight is, they're waiting for Carmelo Hayes to get pushed over because they don't want Trick to overshine Carmelo until Carmelo gets called up. And I think at NXT deadline, Carmelo is going to, that's going to be his final match, I think, in NXT, I'm hearing. And he's going to be called up in Royal Rumble along with Braun, and they're going to go. And then Trick is going to stay now, probably take over the division until the end the new SmackDown Raw draft, probably in May. So and Trick has still got some more wrestling to clean up. Promo wise, he's great. He's still got to do. He's come leaps and bounds as a wrestling performer. But they want to test him with some of these talented wrestlers. You know, from a Dragunov to a Corbin. You know, the different heights and different styles of matches before that Trick Williams becomes. So I think Trick Williams have maybe until May to be on a full time main roster superstar.
Okay, that's a good insight. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, that was the wrestling podcast on wrestling. I can talk about AEW and WWE for days, but that's it. Let's switch it up and let's talk about, I want your topics on this. I want your topics on Star Wars, if you can. Can you tell me your love of Star Wars? Where did it come from? And what do you think is happening now?
All right. As you know, my channel's name after mostly everything from everything except for the wrestling program. They're all Star Wars themed programs, from Return of the Knicks to the Bronx Bomber Strikes Back. I'm the Bronx Sports Jedi, the Sports Channel Network. My point is, Star Wars, when I was a young kid growing up in the 70s, I was born in 76, so I'm aging myself. Mm-hmm. My mom, you know, Star Wars was on fire. My mom worked in Alexander's and Third Avenue. Whenever paycheck will buy me a Stormtrooper, and I will get Star Wars collection. As a young kid, you gravitate to toys. My dad will always get me the you know, for big Chewbacca. That was like, you know, so I loved Star Wars growing up. I was enamored with all the series of four, five, and six. Then when one, two, and three came out, as you know, I was already loving it. I wanted to see it. And then with Star Wars, my love for it is just that it takes you away from that escape, that fantasy. And it's what as a male, you want to be the superhero. You want to have the lifesaver. You want to fight forces of evil. You know, well, that's plot twist. And that drew to me, and I loved it because, you know, a story long, far away, a galaxy far, far away, it just hit all the buttons for me. And watching this current iteration of Star Wars now, they're like a little bit mishmash, a little over the place. I still enjoy it because it's Star Wars, and I like it. I like the fact that they have a female lead as a Jedi, who she's powerful, but I wish they would have changed a little bit of story from her lineage. I wish they would have changed it where she might have been Obi-Wan Kenobi's daughter. Because their stories with Obi-Wan had a love of interest with a Mandalorian and so forth like that. It could have had a child or granddaughter, whatever the case was. I wish it would have stood more of a Jedi, not Palpatine, the way they did it at the end. But hey, I'm still enjoying it. Who am I? I'm not the one writing it. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. And if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. But I enjoyed it. So bring it on. I can't wait for them to. I love the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian. I am enjoying that. I'm enjoying Ahsoka. I love to see, you know, come on, who's not going to want to see Rosario Dawson? They go, wow.
That's true.
Yeah. Esa negrita, ta. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Rosario Dawson. Respectfully, we love you. And no, I get that. And I do want, I've basically seen everything since, except for Andor. I haven't seen that
yet. Neither have I. I haven't seen that one either. Not a fan.
Not a fan. That's okay. But I've seen everything else. I just wish that, for me, the future of Star Wars that I would like to have is that I want to see Luke Skywalker's adventures through the galaxy after, you know, Return of the Jedi. He was going around space for 15 years. He was doing something.
Right. He wasn't eating penne.
No, exactly. He was actually going on adventures and doing stuff. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Golden Order, where after Palpatine comes back for the second time, that was left field, but whatever. He comes back for the second time. But again, I've read the books as well, and I've loved the concept that Palpatine was smart. He made a whole bunch of clones. He thought about it. And the new series tied into the old canon that Disney didn't want to accept, but they're like, hey, I'm Filoni. I do what the hell I want. I'm going to bring this in. I love that. So I want more mysticism in Star Wars. I want, and even more than that, I am also a Star Wars fan because I had on the, I forgot what console it was, Knights of the Old Republic, the first one.
That's a good
and
game.
The second one. And the first one before the patches. So you had to learn how to do some tricks to get out of that. And the second one, I want a movie about that, about Revan, about the Old Order, about Darth Malgus, Darth Bane, Darth, all those guys. Because again, they were wars. So you can just have fun. That's my opinion on Star Wars. Anyone else in the comments, please?
I think they're going to do those with the Disney Plus series. They're not going to be movies, but they'll definitely do that. Hey, it's G-Ram in the building. What's up, G-Ram? My man.
¿Cómo está New York in 1980? New York in 82. I understand myself. So I just, like I said, I want more stuff like that because, again, or at least if you really want to, since you have Hayden Christensen still alive.
Yes.
Do the 10-year about the 10-year gap that Vader was just wrecking shit. Just do that. That's all you need. And you have the voices of Palpatine on your AI machine. Just use that
and
guy
James,
over and over again.
And James Earl Jones, because remember, he's 90 plus years old. Still alive.
He can still play. You know, still good.
Oh, yeah. Like Booker T says, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, I talk about that. That's what I'm thinking.
I love it.
That's what I
want. No, I'm all for it. But they're teasing a little bit there, Alex, with the AI Luke Skywalker, right? And when the Mandalorian after seasons, that final episode of season one
got me crying.
You talk about wrestling, Mark. I marked out in my house because I saw that X-Wing comes up, and the minute that he comes in there, and I saw that, I go, wait a minute. As soon as that, I go, that's Luke Skywalker's wing. X-Wing. And then he was walking and goes, nah, I can't be Luke. And then when I saw it, I was like, whoa, Luke! That should have been a live reaction watch along. Talk about me being a Donald watch along. That would have been, I think I would have got about over at least 10,000 views of me marking out and acting like a fanboy watching Luke Skywalker's on TV there. Oh, my
People
God.
People lost their crap. I lost my crap. But we'll talk about Star Wars another time in our lives. Let's move on to another topic that is controversial, but on the rise. Marvel versus DC. Now, I'm not going to ask you, are you a Marvel fan or DC fan? Because a real fan loves both. But what do you lean towards more, if you want to say like
that? All right. If you're looking behind my shoulder, and I purposely did, I usually put green screens. I always have a green screen. So you have a peek. Lately, I've been having a peek into my living room. If you look in the back, and if I were to move the cameras left and right, this whole room is full of DC Marvel comics. I have a little bit of sports stuff, and the rest is all DC Marvel comics. I love them all. I don't have a preference. I could sit down and watch any one of these from Marvel. Superman is my favorite. First and foremost, Superman is my favorite. The Golden Boy was just the Boy Scout Golden Boy is one of my favorite of all time. And I just enjoy it. The only thing I'm not enjoying is the DC back and forth with. They're gonna take this actor away, or now they're in a multiverse. You know, Harvey Cavell is no longer Superman. This other guy, Gail Gallant, is. You know, first of all, I didn't feel looped. I didn't first receive Gail as Wonder Woman because I thought she was too thin. But then I looked at Linda Carter because hey, I had a crush on Linda Carter for many years.
Oh, of course, everyone did.
beautifulest woman in the world is Wonder Woman. And I'm like, man, that's a hard shoe to fill. Gail did a phenomenal job in filling her. And like, wait a minute, look at, and now you're going to change it again, you know? Yeah. And now, you know, Jason Momoa, perfect Aquaman. He actually gave it a little, although you could say he's Lobo. He could play more of a Lobo, but Lobo's a secondary character. And I wish they would do, I wish they would leave, they would have left Snyder to do the Superman, the DC movies, the way it was, we want it to be done. Warner Brother again keeps doing stupidity. I don't get Warner Brother with their stupidity, because I was the one, I subscribed to DC, the DC network, when as soon as they came, DC Universe, when it came out, I enjoyed all the DC programming from Titans to
Young Justice.
Justice was phenomenal, all of that. And now it's like, what are we doing here? You know,
there's nothing good.
That's where, nothing good. And Marvel is killing it with She-Hulk. Yeah. Even though, you know, it might be comedy, but it's something to keep us. I enjoy She-Hulk. I thought She-Hulk was different. Right. Because we gotta show the women superheroes something.
No, I get that. But when the director themselves said that I trolled the fans on purpose, I'm like, you just kind of got me all. Like, I loved Moon Knight because of the representation of Egypt and everything. I loved Moon Knight. And I did love... I love the little bit of Miss Marvel, a little bit, not a lot of it, but a little bit of it, because again, they were just trying to lead into it. But now, yes, of course, Rated R, Zack Snyder, DC movies have been the best. But for me, I was going to say about this, DC and Marvel are two different entities. And if you want, in terms of fighting, Marvel has good movies, obviously, because they can dump money out there. DC has great animated movies. 95% of them have been awesome. 5% of them had not been that great. I still remember Batman Ninja. It was not a good idea, but they did it anyway, whatever. So that's the difference. DC has also been trying. They did try with Shazam. It did work. Second one was more comedic. Didn't really work out as much. They tried with Black Adam. Not really a good idea. Great concept at first, but the backlash is we'll never see Black Adam versus Superman, which pissed me off. We'll never see that. And now DC is delving into more TV shows, because they did bring back Watchmen. They did pop out with Peacemaker, and Peacemaker season 2 is coming out. Now James Gunn has a whole little 10-year plan, which I'm actually confident that he will do, which I'm happy for. I love that. I want to see Booster Gold. I want to see the Bat Family. I want to see Superman and stuff like that, you know, are normally good, but Marvel wins this. Oh, of course, Marvel wins in the cinematic department. Oh,
absolutely.
But I will tell this, everyone in the chat, whoever was going to hear this, whoever will ever hear this, Under the Red Hood by Batman Animated is by far the most greatest, saddest movies ever, because it will make you cry, because you have to watch it until the last second to understand the story. And that's when a good story is made, when you can't skip it until you get to the last second. Marvel has not done a good cartoon movie.
No.
They just, I'm sorry.
No. No, they haven't. And in the Red Hood, when he tells them, you weren't able to kill him for me. Like when he told them that you couldn't do it, not even for me, who was like your son. And you let this Joker pretty literally just kill me, and you didn't even avenge me. That's deep. Those thoughts there were makes you think about. And for an animated movie to make you think about that, I mean, DC is just killing it with all the animation. Yeah. The one where Constantine, when Darkseid actually beats the Justice League, and they have that Flash go back in time, that was like twisted, like, oh snap! You didn't expect that. You expected the Goody Two Shoes stuff at the end. Ooh, that was a great movie.
Thank you for bringing that back, because I got another comment from Krista, New York fan. I don't know what to say. I don't like the bad. I understand that. For me, I love that, because I am in a war with commentators on YouTube and DC, because they don't want to acknowledge that was the genesis of this new animated universe that's coming out. That was the genesis. I love that. You know what? I love that show, because it was like four mini episodes. Like they talked about they talked about Strange. They talked about Constantine. They talked about Adam, something like Adam Warlock. Oh, different things. But I loved that they said, you know what? We've been using Darkseid for about 20 years now, animated. We've been cycling his ass over and over and over. There's a whole bunch of things to go. Let's use Cthulhu. let's use the anti-monitor. Let's use this. Let's twist it slightly to the left and see what happens. I love it. I love it.
Especially DC. I think their villains are weak, you know, corny or weak. And you have a Darkseid who's a badass. You gotta make him, portray him there. And especially when they did Justice League War, when he just came, when he was reintroduced, that was phenomenal. Like, he was a big boy. Please give me more. And it took the whole Justice League just to get him, just to hurt him just a little bit. It was phenomenal. DC kills it when money comes to animated movies. Even Batman Under the Gaslight. You know, they did it back in the Jack the Ripper time. That was a very underrated, very, very underrated good movie. Animated movie. Very good.
The last one he did as well, that was like Batman in 1920s, where again he has to fight Cthulhu, become a bat demon to protect. Now there's no more Batman. Now there's just like demon bat that will protect. Again, DC, when you have a 10-20 year plan, Bruce Timm, shout out to Bruce Timm. When you have that guy in the background, the same guy who did Justice League animated series, just Batman animated series, Superman animated series, Young Justice, and Teen Titans, he did all that. He is their James Gunn. But Marvel can do something that DC can't. They can handpick actors, put them in certain situations, put millions of dollars, and then say, make this into a movie. Again, WandaVision, great series, great actor, great emotion, great money thrown at it. We probably will never see White Vision until maybe 2027 when the Kang Dynasty shit happens. That pisses me off. DC's like, hey, we got to go, like, Constantine messed things up, called the Living Universe. And in one movie later, boop, Batman, Superman's gone. Another movie later, a demon's popping out. Another movie, it all connects. We're not going to wait 4 years. For the record, Shang-Chi was okay. Not really a fan of it. Didn't like it. This is a good reference. Thank you, Onyx Blade. Trigon and Darkseid are DC best villains. And thank you for bringing this up, Kevin. In Justice League Darkseid War, at the end, it was Trigon versus Darkseid. In the end, he told his daughter, Raven, this is the best birthday gift you've ever given me. Beating the shit out of Darkseid for eternity in a black hole. And Cyborg died. In the last words, he said, suck it, bitch. That's it.
That's
gravitas. That's what I mean. Thank you, Onyx, for that, man. And Joker is overused. I will not say anything because that's just my opinion. And Lex Luthor, while good, is poorly in movies, he's poorly executed in movies. He's always been. I've always liked Gene Hackman. He just liked he wanted to have land. He didn't care about space. He just wanted to have land. That's it.
Yeah.
Every man wants land.
To me, Christopher Reeves will always be Superman for me.
Of course.
Again, but no matter who you bring in back and forth, I grew up on Christopher Reeve. That's my Superman.
I know Marvel waits too long. Again, we have to wait for the Kang Dynasty in 3 years for it to come out. I'm not even watched Loki until my girlfriend gets out. My girlfriend, I love you. I haven't watched Loki yet, and I know that the last episode will directly correlate to what's gonna happen in the movies. Miss the Marvels is coming out in November, and then after that, blah 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 blah, 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 whatever. But I am waiting for two things. What If season 2? Just want to see that.
That was good. That was a good animated. We're talking about not having animated. They actually improved there.
Yes. Because they realized we can't do it by the company standards. We have to do it by the book. We have a giant well of information. Why don't we use it? And second thing coming out, Marvel Zombies. Because they're going to continue one of the episodes of What If and go from there. I'm like, why don't you? You can go continue from there and have fun. Like, just have fun with it and make something out of it. But again, that's just me. Ladies and gentlemen, back to the next topic because we are going like gangbusters. Salsa!
Ay, la música.
Now, I want to switch up a little bit because, again, we can talk about sports and stuff like that. Kev, I never told you this, but that's how I got my first name from Christopher
Reeve. Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful name, sir. Beautiful person you are, Christa Flash. Now, Salsa. I was having a conversation about this because people here are getting angry because of certain rappers or transgender rappers, whatever the hell is happening here in Puerto Rico that I know of. Before I continue, and before anyone that wants to know this, if you want to know the news of Puerto Rico, uncensored, uncrazy, and with video.
Yeah, still in this bitch with the same shit on from yesterday. Yeah. Only niggas that know about this is niggas that grind. Know what I'm talking about?
There you go.
And I'm back now. Salsa music, I grew up with. Now tell me your first ever salsa song that you can remember instinctively, because I'm not being stereotypical. Most Puerto Ricans that grew up around salsa will automatically have a song or sing it in a bank or go to McDonald's and hear it like da, 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 da. Like, just tell me your thing, sir.
Well, listen, growing up in the Bronx,
yes,
okay, 76, I had the privilege to grow up in that era where Fania just blew up. La Fania, you know, from everyone from La Fania. You could talk about Cheo Feliciano, Willie Colon, Hector Lavoe. I mean, you name it, the greats of the greats. I can't just put on one song. It's just the whole movement. Salsa in the early 80s, 70s was a movement. You know, you had your disco movement, you had your disco, then you had the punk rock. But salsa was just all over. I mean, you could not go to anywhere in the Bronx, you know, like the Gran Combo. They had to even come. Gran Combo had to come from Puerto Rico to sing a song, Un Verano en Nueva York. And to be there, I know you there, you lived it. That song is nothing but truth.
Yeah.
You haven't, if you're Hispanic, if you're a Puerto Rican Hispanic, and you haven't lived a summer in New York, you got to listen to that song. You, and I don't know now, because I've been down here in Florida for over 20 years, so, and I haven't been in New York for over 16. So wow. I don't know what the Veranos in Nueva York are now. But when I'm telling you from my childhood, listen, this is where the Bronx was burning. You know, Bronx wasn't pretty. There was abandoned buildings. There, you know, in the middle 80s, there was the epidemic of the crack, epidemic needles, AIDS. But still, there is still, even with all that, there was still Un Verano en Nueva York. Be honest with you, there is nothing like it. From the pompas with the hydrants being open, and you're as a young kid, you could drink the cold water with a can, get sprayed with water. You know, that was your pool, the pump, the basketball courts, everyone outside. You're listening to everyone playing different music. To when I associate the soundtrack of my childhood, to be honest with you, I have salsa from anywhere, from any genre of salsa, from the Fania to whatever the time, present time, you know, that's what I could think of. So many different artists, not just one artist sticks out to me, because you could say, oh, El Gran Combo. Everyone quickly says El Gran Combo. But there's also those that like La Solana Selecta. You know, you also have, you know, El Conjunto Clásico. You have so many Puerto Rican power. You're talking about, Tito Nieves when he was coming up with Conjunto Clásico. You know, you have so many different people, or so many, Orquesta de la Luz. If you remember Orquesta de la Luz, the Japanese salseros, they were Japanese and they were singing salsa. They had a couple hits as well. So to me, and they, like Cheo Feliciano said, it's a gumbo. I mean, I know Pacheco said it's a gumbo of all Latin music, of all percussions and rumba. And to me, that's why I still say to this day, whenever you're feeling that you want to get motivated or listen to something or want to remember my childhood, when in Musica Latina, I'll put some salsa, just put on some salsa from that era, and nothing but great memories. It's like a time machine. For me personally, it's a time machine. It will bring me back to a Bronx. Yes, we didn't have means. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't, you know, there was some hardship. There were some hard times, like Dusty Rhodes would say, but it was still, you know what? I still won't. I will relive my childhood again with that soundtrack. It's just phenomenal, Alex.
I get it completely. Give me one second. My lovely co-host here.
Oh, look at that.
Hello, everybody. He wants to say hi. This is not your time today. You get to play later. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, Morris.
Anyway, my memories with salsa has always been ingrained in my head. And I will say this is the reason why. I grew up around the 80s, around metal rock and hair band rock and all that stuff. So I have that in my head for life. You know, Take Me to Berlin and all that other stuff. I mean, Take My Breath Away and all those other things. You know, but again, another comment here. How about DJ Laz from Miami? Of course. What I say by ingrained in salsa is that my mom, my father, my grandma, my uncles, my grandpa, my cousins, they would put salsa every night, every day. Boleros on Sundays.
Yes.
But salsa's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday while I'm cooking, while I'm cleaning, everything else. And I used to hate it because I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up around grunge, gangster rap, and stuff like that. Around 2002, when I was in the military, I hear someone put a song randomly on an old YouTube video, and it was Periquito Ping Ping, Periquito Ping Pan by you know who the person is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I started singing the song, thank you, that put it out there, and then después songs started flooding in my head. La cura resulta peor que la enfermedad.
Funky
payaso, ataúd de amor.
Rafi Levitz, La Selecta. Oh, man. My goodness. Then, you're giving me goosebumps here. Man.
I know. Because I grew up on these songs. I hear these songs all the time. There is not one place ever in this world where you can go to un colmado aquí en Luquillo or any part of Puerto Rico where you will not hear either salsa, bachata, merengue, depending on the person who owns it. But the majority of the time, it's salsa. And my son is being ingrained the same way I was ingrained. I'm like, you don't like salsa? Too bad. I'm going to put salsa. We're going to the parties. We're going to hear salsa. And this happened to me a few days ago where I was in a McDonald's and they put De La Nada. La cura resulta más grave que la enfermedad. And then about four people randomly around McDonald's start singing that. La cura, 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 la cura resulta yo. And I'm like, I haven't even bought my damn chicken nuggets yet. What the hell? Oh. that's the feeling of salsa music in Puerto Ricans in general, any Latinos, anyone that just loves salsa music. So I always tell people, take the time, listen. Because on top of being musical and inspiring, there were some dark times. Ataúd de Amor is not about love. It's about a guy supposedly burying a girl in a hole, man. La cura resulta is a point of a singer literally making a song about himself being addicted to drugs, it's and dope. He can't stop it.
Right.
And you know what's ironic? He made more money to buy more drugs off the fact that he was trying to stop drugs from the same song he made. This is salsa. You can't make that shit up.
No. Yo soy el cantante. Yo soy cantante is him talking about his pain. Yeah, he can have fame. He could be the singer. He can have all the fame, the glory, but he's still sad. No one knows that he's sad when he leaves the stage. He puts on a show to entertain us, but no one knows if he cries when he's not there. I mean, those are deep. You know, Ruben Blades, one of the greatest poet singers. You listen to his, and it didn't happen to me until I got older. When you're younger, you just think, it's cool. When you get older and you start appreciating and listening to the words, it was like, damn, these words are really, because I used to listen to music. Now, when you get older, you listen to music and you listen to the words, what they say, you're like, damn, this was deep. You know, wow.
Great example. Ismael Rivera, Ismael Miranda, India, Celia Cruz. But Celia Cruz before Fania. Celia Cruz, when Celia Cruz was just talking songs and just really expressing how she felt during the time of life. When she got with Fania, vamos bailar, vamos bailar, like that, what, well, you gonna sit? Thank you.
No, so, that's cool. That's a good look at that guest. Look at that.
It's my
guys. We need to click likes for the kitty cat. Please, we need to make sure we hit the likes. Yes, because you know what? This is a pussy that you gotta like. Let's go.
Oh, my girlfriend's gonna love that. Now moving on from that topic before I get regulated by YouTube to the next topic and probably the last one, which I do want to talk about is general sports, and this is a great topic. Can you tell me your top three? Most sports, like general sports that you like in general, other than wrestling, wrestling.
I'm gonna keep wrestling away because everyone says that sports entertainment, but competitional sports, you know, being a New Yorker, who's not gonna love boxing?
Of course,
you know, unfortunately, it's sad to see that boxing is a dying sport. It's no longer one, they don't allow you to cover it the way we want to cover it. They put too many restrictions for us. You know, the way we want to cover wrestling, throw a video clip here, put it on intro. We can't do that with boxing for some reason. A lot of copyright, a lot of infringement there. Because there's so many people that have their fingers or their hands in the pocket of making money revenue wise. boxing for us being it's phenomenal. Grew up watching with Fero Gomez, Hector Mato Camacho, you know, Duran. You're talking about the greats of Tito Trinidad when his heyday, when he was coming up. You know, all those people that brought us glory and enthusiasm in Puerto Rico boxing. But not just the Puerto Rican boxers, but boxers in general. You know, Marvin Hagler, Hearns, you name it. You know, when Tyson came on aboard. Boxing is a general sport that, you know, I enjoy watching the combat, the now, first and foremost, the event. I know that in the Bronx, when certain people only had WHT or HBO, everyone would go running to the house. It was my grandmother. You know, grandma would cook and everyone, all uncles, cousins, but we all sat around and we ought to be quiet to watch the boxing fights. And that right there, you associate as a general sport, the love of boxing. Also, you know, I love baseball. You know, also another sport being from the Caribe, it's not just been the Caribe, but playing, you know, sports that we were able to play was baseball. You know, and of course, who's being from the Bronx, how are you not going to love the New York Yankees? You know, and then the Yankees weren't good when I grew up in the 80s, they were terrible. They were bad. But the love of them representing the Bronx and going out there and going there personally, that's why I enjoyed the sports when it comes to that. And then my love for baseball, for basketball. You know, growing up watching basketball, Bernard King, that's when I started watching basketball, the love of the New York Knicks. They haven't won anything. I get it. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But you know what? They're my team. They're the ones that represent my city where I was born, that where God gave me the opportunity to open my eyes and come to the world in New York. And that's why I root for them extremely hard, no matter where I'm at. I could be in Orlando. I could be if I go to San Antonio, if I go to Puerto Rico, I'm still going to be a New Yorker because that's the land that my mother gave birth to me. And that's why I root so hard for my New York teams and love it, because it's a pride, because from where I came from and where I'm at now, where I'm going to continue to go, it's not a shame. It's a reminder that you could persevere. If you're there, you know, no matter what, if you're in the Bronx and you see around, you know what? There's more, you could persevere. And you know how they used to say before in the biblical times, nothing comes good out of Nazareth. When they used to tell that to Christ, well, nothing comes good out of the Bronx. Nonsense. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff that comes out of the Bronx.
Of course.
And I just wear that with that pride. And sports, rooting for my team and loving sports, it's an escape too. For me, it's an escape from everyday minutia. You know, I'm going to watch players. I'm going to get entertained. I'm going to disconnect from the power company bills. I got to pay my mortgage, XYZ. I'm going to watch a sport. I'm going to have fun. See some guys win. And I want my city to win and have that city pride. That's why I love sports in general. And that's why I just stick with it.
Okay. And you haven't told me a third one. You said baseball, boxing.
Basketball. The Knicks, basketball. Okay. Basketball. And, of course, football. But I got – you know what, be honest with you? I got into American football around 1986, 80, you know, when the Giants winning
good.
Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And then 1990 when they beat the Bills, you know, watching as a young kid. Didn't know too much of the rules, but I was rooting for them. But I'm a Jet fan. And the funny thing is, I seen the Giants win Super Bowl because you know why I became a Jet fan? The most dumbest thing, or that to me it's funny because I watch a movie named Flash Gordon. Remember Flash Gordon?
Of course I remember Flash Gordon. One of my favorite movies of all time.
And it goes back to comics. Everything in life, Flash Gordon was a New York Jet quarterback. Yeah, and Flash Gordon went and saved the universe from Ming. And I said, you know what? I'm going to root for the Jets. Just because of that. And the Jets haven't found a quarterback. Maybe they should bring back Flash Gordon to quarterback their team. And that's why I'm more of a Jet fan over a Giant. I've seen the Giants win Super Bowls. I mean, four. Yeah. But I haven't seen it, but I'm more of a Jet fan. But to me, that sports, the three top ones is boxing, baseball, and basketball. Then football. But it changes from year to year. And hockey, the Rangers, you know, I like sports in general. I'm a sports head. I'm a jock. I'm totally being a jock, you know. And I said, look, if the Lord would have blessed me being 6'4", I would be playing professional somewhere. Seriously, because I had that skill set, that love and that passion, that work ethic. But I'm 5'11". I wasn't going to make it there. I had a mean fastball, but let's face it, when you're not tall, you're not going to get anywhere.
Of course. Of course. Thank you, Onyx Blade. Love you.
All right, Onyx.
But I get it. Like, my top three are boxing, but boxing was only good like around 2005, 2012. It's kind of over here in Puerto Rico, it's not really like, unless someone Puerto Rican fights and you have to know that person, then you'll watch it. If not, like, whatever. And my second one actually is a little obscure, dodgeball. Grew up on dodgeball, like dodgeball. And my third sport that I will watch, which is really weird, is That's a weird one to say because I don't like football. I don't like soccer. Ping pong.
All right. Sure. Okay.
Olympian ping pong, because there actually are Olympian ping pong people, ladies and gentlemen. Someone won here a long time ago. We had this big parade for a woman that won in ping pong from Puerto Rico. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wow. Did she win the world? All right, cool, man. I get it. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was general sports. Thank you, Mr.
You know, I'm not a fan of Global Gym, though.
I've never. And by the way, part two is coming out. By the way,
yeah, I knew you were gonna get that reference from Dodgeball the movie.
Of course, man.
Like one of my favorite movies too of comedy. Course.
And the rumor before we get the final thoughts, the rumor for Dodgeball 2 is that they're gonna flip the script, because remember at the end of part one, the good guys got the money and they won, and the bad guys lost. So we're gonna go by real time, skip about a decade plus. Now the good guys are the bad guys, and Ben Stiller's character is the underdog that is trying to get his life back.
Oh, Roy Goodman. Roy Goodman is going to make a comeback.
Yeah, so imagine Dwight Goodman fat trying to fight the good guys who are Vince Vaughn, but they're not good guys anymore because they just got corrupted by greed.
Peter LaFleur.
So Peter LaFleur is now
– Peter LaFleur. Like,
I do want to see that. So I'm really happy for that. They got all the original actors. Everyone's coming back for that, so I'm really happy for that. Really excited.
Ooh, I wonder if Chuck Norris is going to be in there.
Chuck Norris will be in anything. Chuck Norris will always be in everything. You know damn well it's Chuck Norris. Give him 20 Dark bucks Knight. And a sandwich, okay? He's not as bad as Steven Seagal, but that's a good point right here. One last question before we go, and that's a good – everyone down below. Who are – and for you, Kevin, who are your top three action stars of all time?
Ooh.
You can go anytime, anytime across the board.
Damn, that's a good one. I never sat down and put that top three of Mount Rushmore of action stars. I mean,
yeah.
Oof, wow. You gotta like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah,
no matter what. When he stops his physique, and the way he his action movies with Commander, Terminator, you name it, I gotta say Schwarzenegger. You can't disrespect Stallone with all his movies, even Over the Top. That was a little bit kind of corny with the arm wrestling. It's still, you know, you kind of want to look that Rocky. Who doesn't want to get inspiration to Rocky, man? I remember watching Rocky and going out there having fights. Like, you know what? Let's go. You know, kick your butt, you know. And my third one, you know, it's a tough one because I want to put someone modern now that I like to enjoy watching, but I don't know. It's a hard time to see who it is to pick as an action star. I think Rocky does the same movies. Dwayne Johnson is kind of almost like the same character. How many times are you going to give the eyebrow, you know, with the kind of feel like he plays kind of the same. Jackie Chan. I mean,
so Jackie Chan does the reward, and Arnie, Tom Cruise, and Harrison Ford.
Tom Cruise, where he does with those Mission Impossible movies, stops you. But then that becomes
that's why you don't really consider him an action star. He's a Mission Impossible star. He just like, I'm gonna stuck with that. Like Vin Diesel, I don't consider Vin Diesel an action star. Vin Diesel is a Fast and Furious guy. That's just like, whatever forever. That we take them off the board. My top three are a little obscure, so this is gonna be a little weird. One, because I like action stars in the moments. I used to have these videos, so I used to rewatch them a lot of times. That's why I consider these three favorites. Gina Davis from The Long Kiss Goodnight.
That was a good movie.
That was a good one, and they kind of hinted that she was kind of like John Wick. She can ice skate and shoot three people while on this ice at perfect precision, like survive shooting, survive a bombing, survive torture, just like John Wick. That's one. Currently, recently, the guy from the movie Nobody, that guy, that he was an old guy, he was retired, and like he saw some guy in a bus and just beat the crap out of him, which then
Better Call Saul, that guy, that one, that actor.
Yeah, that guy, yes, mm-hmm. That guy. I like the way that, like, because it was more realistic. And the third guy is a very old movie, and it's French. I forgot what it's called. But Natalie Portman was in that movie, and she was very young. I forgot what it was called. If you remember what it is.
Was it Black Swan? Was it Black Swan?
No, before that. She was like 13.
Oh, I know which one it is. Yes, yes. It's called the actor's name is Ronan. His name is Ronan. Yes, I know exactly who it is. I know exactly the movie. She was a young little girl, and the guy's an assassin. He's an assassin. Yeah. Yes. That movie was very good, very underrated. Very good movie.
That's what I mean. There it is, Leon. Thank you.
There you go.
Those are three for me action stars for me because they did a mission. Leon didn't survive. Gina Davis survived, and the guy from Nobody, Saul Okenfor, whatever his name is, he survived. And I love John Wick. I understand that a dog was murdered. You go revenge on that. I get that. But there's a lot of movies out there of action stars that no one gives acknowledge to. And I will give acknowledge to Steven Seagal only from 82, only from 82 to 89. Well, 92, 82 and 92. After that, then you saw that he started like sitting down more and doing a lot more sitting down. Right, like, all right.
What's your favorite movie from Seagal?
Oh, hell, I forgot what the one that is. There's the one that he was a cop and he had to track down this crackhead. And like the whole movie, like him going from bar to bar.
Anybody there? You know what? Who picked Bobby Lupo? Hey, Richie, you. I'm looking for Richie.
That's the movie. Like, because
Alfred Death or Mark for Justice? Mark for Justice.
And the train one, of course. The one that like the girl's like, happy birthday, and everyone had a VHS, and everyone went to that one spot with the. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Those two, that's it. Other than that,
I was disappointed. Like, I was disappointed when they did that movie with Kirk Russell, Executive Order. That Steven Seagal was only like in the first 5 minutes, and the plane blows up and he dies. And that's when I lost faith in Seagal.
Yeah, I get it, and I understand that now. You're right. There's no new action stars to be like now because everything's okay. Kraven the Hunter's coming out. It's an actor for the Marvel movie. It's not an action star. Tom Cruise won't retire because he keeps doing Mission Impossible movies until he dies. And that's just the way it's going to be with Vin Diesel, too. I don't
know. Liam Hemsworth in Extractor for Netflix.
Great movie.
Keep an eye. He's a hell of an actor when it comes to the action scenes. He fits the part. He's not just Thor. You think you're waiting for him to, you know, there was a scene when he took the hammer in Extraction 2. And I thought it was like, oh, give it. But those movies were pretty good, though.
It was. And I respect him for that. But like I said, there's movies in general like that. There is no action stars to be like, yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, the last Batman that came out was a good movie, and the actor was a good actor for me. Great representation of Batman, early Batman, year two Batman. So I love that. People tend to forget, I didn't like that actor. He perfectly represented year two Batman. Year two Batman's right. all over the fucking place, and he's just learning. Right. Get over it, guys. God,
right.
Jesus
right. Christ. Right. You know? It's just they just don't want to see – they think he's a Batman, but they want fangs from and glow.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point, too. Denzel is a good action star. He didn't do a lot of action films. That is true. He doesn't do that many. He's making fun of that. Oops. Yes, making fun of that. Denzel is only three. Now he's done so many action films. The only one I remember that he did was a very good one with Martin Landau, where he was a cop and he caught the guy. Supposedly he was a terrorist or something, and he caught the guy. And then he got out by technicality. So that guy took his whole life purpose to destroy Denzel Washington's character. He gave him herpes. He got him hooked on drugs. Everyone made everyone believe that he was a monster. And then Ice-T was in that movie too. Look it up. Martin Landau.
I gotta see that one.
Ice-T. This was Ice-T just before the movie that he did that he was getting hunted by people. Again, I watch a lot of Scooby movies, ladies and gentlemen. 80s and 90s were my jam. And VHS tape stores were abundant back in the 90s, dude.
Early 2000s, too. Oh, yeah. You know, Out of Time with Eva Mendes, when Denzel and Eva Mendes. That's a pretty good one, too.
Even a good horror thriller suspenseful one where the one with like the guy would jump from soul to soul, and spoiler alert, Denzel was trying to stop the demon, and the demon's like, ugh. And then the last second he jumped into a cat, like, fuck you, Denzel. I'm like, oh, damn, Denzel, damn. But again, recognition where recognition is due. I love all those action movies.
Peak of Eli was good too.
True, true. But Oh, Book of Eli was good. Very underrated. There's a lot of underrated movies like there's a lot, but we can talk about that in another episode of our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, final thoughts on this interview. What did you think of it? What is the message that you want to tell everyone in the future that will last forever, sir?
Just make a great legacy, man. Just continue to support. Remember what you do today is going to be everlasting impression for generations and generations, you know.
Yes.
Always live positive, always do something positive, do something where it's going to be always give fruit no matter what. Even if I do, you know, you never know who might need that few minutes of just your ear or a smile or an escape. Just live by that. Just go with that. You know, it's easy to be negative. It's easy to be upset, bothered, angry. That's the most easy part. When you could change a person's life for a better, even like I said, with a smile or just a voice or just an ear, lending an ear, do it. Leave a good positive legacy. If I want, that's the best way of doing it. What you reap, what you sow. If you sow good stuff, you're going to reap good stuff. But again, Alex, I really appreciate having this interview. I mean, you're the first person that actually invites me on to their channel to interview on
Twitter. Really?
Yeah.
What's the point of that? Like, it's a point of our community and talking to people. Like, I would love to, again, tell all your people in your crew. If they want to go on this interview as well, get to know everybody, tell them.
Yes.
The line is always open on Coquito Underground. And again, you know this. It's not about me. It's about BX Sports Kevin Cruz. The guy has a freaking almost 12,000 subscribers. I'm a nobody considered this guy. But he still takes the time because era un buen puertorriqueño y coge el tiempo de su corazón para ayudarme. And if you don't know that, Google Translate that. It's not that hard. 15 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Google Translate that. My final thoughts are this. I lost my channel, ladies and gentlemen, because of hacking and hate. Happens. I will not cry over a screen and text. No. I will cry when I see the sun come up. I will cry when my mom tells me that she loves me. I will cry the day I get married to my girlfriend. I will cry when my son becomes the achievement that I know that he will be. I just know, not if, but when. Those are times I'll cry. And I'll cry during the movie Up and maybe a couple of like, oh, the daylight, put that song on anything, I will cry. I'm just like, oh, God, no, all I need. Anyway, other than that, on the road to 1,000 again, if you like my channel, thank you. We will talk about interviews. We'll do gaming. I will start playing games again, bringing in The Forest, maybe some Assassin's Creed. My girlfriend might be playing The Sims, just having fun with commentary, with Puerto Rican commentary, which is just me being drunk in the background. Mira, muñeca, muévete el fucking microondas. Papi, es demasiado caro. Compré más barato. ¿Qué te pasa? So that might happen in the background. Stay healthy. Stay happy. Find love and happiness where you are. And like I said this morning, find the sun wherever you are. Look at it, smile, and know that you're alive. Because some people don't even have that love. Love you, Dad. Adios a todos. Time for the outro.